Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I keep saying it, this conference tournament for the Pac-12 conference is going to be unlike any other conference tournament that we have seen in history. I just think that there's so much up in the air. I think the conference is still planning to have the women's and men's tournaments in Las Vegas. They're saying that they're not sure whether fans will be allowed inside the arena. They're going to leave that to the Las Vegas authorities. But we've got a college basketball season like none other. And here to talk about it, Kelly Graves, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. Let's start with LeBron, though. That's your guy. He's mixing it up with fans. Should he be paying attention to what that lady's saying?
Well, it's hard not to. I think it was just the front row that had fans, right? I mean, it's not like right. You have the noise in the background. So, of course, you're going to hear everything, but I don't know. He seemed pretty good-natured after. It didn't seem like it was, too bad. I mean, he's got to toughen up a little bit, but maybe he was just having some fun. Who knows?
Do you hear that stuff?
I don't think he got tossed, did he?
Well, they didn't get tossed until he got involved. And that's the thing. I kind of look back. I go, okay, her mask was down. If she's being profane, the security guard's got to – don't leave it to LeBron to police the arena. But I also am wondering – when you get heckled, do you get heckled? Do fans heckle women's basketball programs?
you think? Of course. I don't know how many arenas, the student sections especially, they'll chant hair club. For me, I've had people tell me to sit down because I'm too tall or too wide. Other stuff. I remember last year Mignon Moore got heckled when we were at USC. They were kind of chanting traitor, which was, really uncalled for. And I actually we got an official apology from USC on that one. Over the years, man, I've been heckled. I remember at South Dakota State, which, by the way, never go to. Brookings, South Dakota. And it's a beautiful place, but hard to play. So for any young coaches out there listening, if South Dakota State wants you to go play there, don't. Run away. And so anyway, the student section is literally right behind our bench, and they're elevated about 6 feet or so. And I remember I would draw on my piece of paper. I would draw a play. This is what we want to run at timeouts. And they'll be yelling. They're looking literally right down on you. Coach, that's not going to work. What are you thinking? Coach, that's stupid. And so I remember one time it did work. I ripped the piece of paper out, signed it, and handed it to him. I said, there you go, you guys.
So those are the jackrabbits.
A little bit of fun with it.
They're the jackrabbits over there. They shoot a bunch of threes, don't they?
They shoot a bunch of threes. And when you walk into the arena, or the officials walk into the arena, the crowd will say, hey, Jim, what's going on? You've got the coach's brother-in-law and cousin refereeing the game. It's like you're going to get ambushed. So just take my advice. Don't go back to South Dakota. Even though I do love the coaches there, they're good people.
Kelly Graves is with us, University of Oregon women's basketball coach. This season's already been like no other. What has it been like to try to keep rhythm amid all of this?
We haven't been able to be honest with you. I mean, it's, this pause, and then before that, it was somebody else's pause that cost us a game. Before we've had injuries all season long. It's been really difficult, to be honest with you. And we've had other players out because they were contact traced, not from our program, but from others. So it's been difficult to get any kind of a rhythm going. And so that's why I think it's going to be a fun race to the finish and a crazy postseason. I heard you talking about the conference tournament. We'll see what that's going to look like.
Yeah, let me get at that, because in football it came up probably in a more significant way than it has yet in basketball, but Washington was not able to play at Oregon, and, you know, Oregon moved to the championship game, and a lot of Washington fans weren't happy about that. But I do feel like as the football season went on, I gained respect for the programs that were able to play on a week-to-week basis. Like, I felt like that was part of the season, and Mario Cristobal talked about that. Do you feel like it's part of the basketball season, or is that unfair to say, hey, Kelly, you should be in charge of keeping your team safe and COVID-free, or is that too much to ask?
Well, I think it's too much to ask, and you know, we did a good job. I think we were the last team in the Pac-12 to actually get paused. So, you know, but you just never know. I mean, I went to Costco yesterday, and, you know, John, I'm bumping up next to, you know, people, and, you know, I mean, you can get it at any point. You can't, these kids can't just go to practice and then go home and just sit in their room. You know, they still have lives, and you try to do the best you can, and you know, encourage them to stay vigilant, but it just takes one, you know, kind of misstep, and sometimes you don't even know that you're misstepping. So, it's just, I think, a way of life right now. You know, I'm part of the sports landscape, and I think you just manage it best you can. And in our case, we just had some close contact because of practices that we as a staff now can manage a little bit better now that it's actually hit home to us. So, yeah, I don't think you can point any fingers and say, oh, they're not doing the right thing. Ah, that's baloney.
Your team this year, much different challenge for you as a coaching staff. And, you know, last year you had a lot of experience and you had Sabrina. And now you've got a lot of talent and you guys are still really good. But how different is the challenge when you've got, you know, a bunch of players who are used to being the player on their team?
It's been a tough dynamic to handle. And, you know, I'm not going to lie about that. You know, we have a lot of kids that, you know, deserve to play and have worked hard enough to play. And we haven't, you know, I think you and I have talked about this before. Our players, you know, 4 through 12, haven't really separated that much. You know, it was easy in the past. Hey, these were our 5 or 6 best players. They're going to play. Then the rest, you kind of fill in, you play a role. You know, we're still trying to work that out. And with a limited camp, fewer preseason games, and now a kind of an on and off again regular season, it's hard to get a rhythm. It's hard to, you know, ride this hot hand for a few weeks. It's, you know, whatever the case may be. And so, it's still a work in progress. That's why I just really believe, John, if we can get our group together, at some point we're going to be healthy. At some point we're going to have everybody at every practice every day. I think we got a shot at being really good down the stretch. I mean, like, really good in a year that, quite frankly, there is no dominant team across the country. You've seen that in the top 10, just people beating people. So why not us?
Kelly Graves is with us, University of Oregon women's basketball coach. You got, you know, on the schedule, Arizona State, then Arizona. You'll get that second chance opportunity against Arizona, Stanford, UCLA, presumably down the stretch here. You know, are your kids looking forward to getting another opportunity at those three teams?
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. And right now the Pac-12 championship is still up in the air. We have 3 losses. UCLA has 2, Stanford 2, and Arizona 2. And like you said, we play all 3 of them again. And, so we control our own destiny here. I think our kids are enthused. I think the attitude's been great. They're hungry and, you know, let's play this thing out. See where it ends.
Can you remember back, you know, because there was a stretch there where you guys just didn't lose unless it was like, you know, you're playing a NCAA tournament game in the Final Four kind of situation. You just, or if you lost, you came, you ripped off 15 in a row after that. But can you remember back maybe early in Sabrina's career where you lost some games and watch to see how your team responded? And how different is this team? Because I look at those 3 ranked games you played against the teams I mentioned, and, you know, you dropped those games. Do you see any similarities? Is there anything there that tells you, hey, this team's got some of that magic?
Yes, I do. This team's better than that team was at this point, just sheer talent. You know, people forget Sabrina's first year you know, Ruthie, those guys were all freshmen. We were 8-10 in conference play. And, you know, we were fortunate. We went up into the conference tournament on two losses, back-to-back losses. And we go up there and we get a win in the first round, and then we upset Washington in Seattle in the second night. That got us into the field. You know, then we dropped the next night, but then we got hot in the NCAA tournament and make it all the way to the Elite Eight that year. But, you know, we had a losing record in conference, and I think we ended up losing, you know, maybe 11 or 12 games on the season. So it was an up-and-down roller coaster, similar to what we have now. You know, I hope this team can gel just like that, because let's face it, we've shown that we're a pretty good postseason team once we get it rolling. So I hope that same kind of magic is in this group.
Kelly, you know, it's about basketball, but it's about a lot of other things. How are college kids doing amid these times? Like, we've had a Groundhog Day today, but it's felt like a Groundhog Year.
Yeah, you know, I feel for them. You know, I really do. And I know your daughter is looking to make her college choice. And, you know, Oregon is an awesome place. By the way, I'm putting in a pitch, if you can't tell, for Oregon. Have her stay at U of O. But, and the reason I say that is, you know, our player, University of Oregon's really a special place. There's a great spirit. You've been on campus on game days or whatever. It's a great spirit. It's a beautiful campus. Our kids don't know it. Our freshmen, I have some freshmen have actually never been to the other side of campus, because they go to practice and then they go home, kind of thing. And they're not exploring and they're not experiencing, you know, the true college life. And I'm not talking about the fraternity and sorority parties and that kind of stuff, but just being part of that community. And I it hurts me, you know, because it is a special place and I want them to know that and love it. And I think that was the beauty of our past teams. It wasn't that they were just good basketball players and tight-knit group. They loved Oregon, and Oregon loved them, the fans and the community and the university itself. So, I feel for them on that. So, you know, it's just got to be hard to get through it. And, you know, like your kids in school, not getting to go to school, that's tough. And I don't think they're ever going to they're never going to be able to get it back, but it will affect them for their lives, I think, the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and I think we're only beginning to...
psychologist.
I just don't get a chance to check in with college kids, and you're in that world. And, you know, I've been surprised with my high school senior because she's, unusually upbeat about it. And I'm going, gosh, she seems to be doing okay, but I think college kids who are out there, you know, this isn't the season or this isn't the year, or for my high school kid, it's not the senior year that she probably imagined for herself.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one of the things that we promote when we're recruiting is the elite level of athletes we get at the university, you know, and the ability for our elite players to rub shoulders and hang out and pick the minds of other great athletes, our track people, our football players. They can't do that. They can't go over to the academic center and just kind of hang out and talk and things like that. So, you know, they're missing out on that part. And that's one of the things that we promote when we're recruiting.
Pac-12 commissioner is not returning. There'll be a search, as I talked about off the top of the show, for his replacement. Amid all that, the Pac-12 Networks has been fantastic for women's basketball in the conference. You guys are able to pitch to recruits that they will be seen and they will be on TV. Is there any part of you that really wants to hold on to that relationship with the network, even though maybe not everybody's happy with it right now?
Yeah, I don't understand all that dynamic, so I couldn't even, you know, begin to opine on it. But I you know, we are on more than any team in the country, our conference teams. Any other conference. So it's been really good for women's basketball. It's helped our visibility. Even though I know, I get it, that not every household gets the Pac-12 network, but those that really want to find it can. And, I don't know. Maybe we're the only ones that had the conference and the TV together, correct?
Yes. Yeah. You're,
so there's a reason that nobody else has done it. And I don't think we're making as much as others have. So maybe there is a different model out there. but that's above my pay grade.
I think it should.
I'm going to leave that to you because
I don't want to take women's college basketball off the Pac-12 network. I would just like to get the Pac-12 network in the hands of like a media company, if it's FS1 or if it's ESPN, and I want to continue to see your teams play. But I'm well aware, like, the football fans are not happy because they're saying, hey, we don't get to see the games. But there are a lot of women's basketball fans in this part of the country who look at that network and go, man, I can see Arizona play UCLA. I can see Oregon play Stanford. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think for women's basketball, it's maybe the best package out there in the entire country. But, yeah, aside from that, I don't, have you heard who's up for the job? Is that something they do later? By the way, I sent Larry Scott a text after, and he was sent me a really nice, gracious one back, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's classy. And, you know, and I don't want to pile on the guy either. Like, I just think he might have been the right guy when they hired him, and suddenly you look up halfway through his tenure and you go, okay, he's not right anymore. I think that happens in coaching. It happens with radio hosts. I mean, it happens all the time. That's business. I think, you know, they're still looking. They're talking to search firms. I think they're going to move fast. Yesterday, Kirk Schultz, Washington State president, said it'll move fast. But Gene Smith at Ohio State, he was asked about his interest. He said it's humbling. It's just speculation. And he said, I haven't been contacted. What he didn't say, Kelly Graves, was, I'm not interested and I don't want this job. Mm. So I think you have to include a guy like that. I think he'd bring a lot of credibility. And I think there's a whole bunch of other good candidates, including, I think your AD might be somebody that they'd want to talk to. I think
Rob
Mullins.
You can't take him. You cannot take him. He would be great for whatever job he does. So my question to you is, what is the normal path for a commissioner? Is it a coach that moves up? Is it an AD? Is it a business person? I mean, where do you draw?
Do you want to be the commissioner?
I mean, obviously, Gene.
Are you saying you want to be the commissioner?
Let's go. I'll do it. Yeah. I mean, why not only just have the headaches of one team, why not have them of every team?
Here's the, like, traditionally, that person's been a suit, right? It's been like an executive that'll move in. Like, you've got a Harvard-educated attorney that's outgoing. But now they're outsourcing media rights negotiations. The SEC hired IMG or somebody else, so you don't necessarily need an attorney in that role. And I think what needs to happen, forget who it is, I think it needs to be somebody who understands athletes, coaches, and ADs. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's connected to all 12 campuses and spends some time on the campuses and kind of understands what you're going through, what your players are going through, what Rob Mullins is going through. So I'm looking at former ADs who have kind of risen up. That's kind of the pool. I expect the next commissioner will be somebody who's been an AD.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not lobbying for Rob because, of course, we never want him to leave because he's such a great boss. But he's terrific. I mean, he's absolutely the best, and nobody understands his conference more. So, but no, I don't know. How about you? I mean,
not interested.
There's some out there that might say, well, John seems to have all the answers.
Yeah, am I going to call from my own head? What am I going to do? All 3 hours a day say what a bad job I'm doing?
How about we get the Bald Bros, you and I, and we go down and take the conference over, it by storm.
You know what? We'll put headquarters in Salem, Oregon, see what they think about that.
Well, didn't it used to be in Portland? Let's bring it back to Portland.
It was founded in downtown Portland back in the day.
Let's go.
Hey, by the way, the people heckling you with baldness, that's supposed to be a bad thing? Like, come on, that's my brand.
Yeah, exactly. See, they don't understand. Well, when I went to Gonzaga from St. Mary's, so I went to the same conference, right? When I went back to St. Mary's, they had kind of all Alex Rodriguez, some dollar signs on like popsicle sticks that they were holding up. Little did they know I actually took a pay cut to get out, but whatever works.
Yeah. Whatever works.
Yeah. I think it's part of the game and it's fun. I'll tell you, sit behind my three boys sometime. Yeah. They were right behind Mike Schill, our president, at the Elite Eight game, to go to the Final Four a couple years ago in Portland. And, boy, the stories he's told me, these some questionable language, but they're really, really funny.
I like that.
Good heckling is an art, and if it's creative and funny, I love it. If it's just foul and, you know, you can tell they're just idiots, then no, come on, get a life.
Kelly Graves, you're the best. I appreciate you.
That was fun, John. Call anytime, okay?
All right, will do. There he is, Oregon women's basketball coach. They got some games ahead. Supposed to play Friday at home against Arizona State. Monday, they host Arizona, number 9 Arizona. Really, just about 7 games left on their regular season schedule, then the conference tournament. It's going to be like none other. Grab a podcast of that if you missed any of it. Leave it here. More ahead. Every day on the program, we do a big splash. It's the one thing you need to know. Today's no different.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, they got another creep. The Angels have suspended Mickey Callaway in the wake of a report that he sexually harassed female reporters over a span of 5 years. The team has said it was working closely with Major League Baseball on this investigation, but he's accused by 5 women of inappropriate behavior that includes sending photographs, requests for nude photos, and other advances. The women who spoke to The Athletic under the condition of anonymity all worked in sports media at the time of their interactions, which spanned 5 years and included his run as manager of the New York Mets and pitching coach of the Cleveland Indians. In an emailed response, he wrote, quote, "Rather than rush to respond to these general allegations of which I have just been made aware, I look forward to an opportunity to provide more specific responses." He says any relationship in which he engaged was consensual and his conduct was in no way intended to be disrespectful to any women involved. Major League Baseball said it's going to begin an investigation.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.